And we're holding Page, Hoff, Vov, and Fagiga about the end of the night. We started learning yesterday about the various things that Hashem created on the first day of Ma'is Bereshis. The Gemara had listed 10 things. Ma'ashar summarizes that they are the four Yisodas on earth, one in Shemayim, and then the various things that define existence, like times and things like that, and light, which was the purpose for which the Eibishter created the world in the first place, ultimately the light of the Shechin. So now the Gemara asks, you're telling me that the light was created on the first day of Ma'is Bereshis? We've only on the fourth day that Hashem create the heavenly bodies and put them in the sky. And that was the fourth day. So what light on the first day? Now, the Gemara could have answered, there are many Mefarshim who explain that B'chlal, the Eibishter created all of what's called Chomer Yuli, what the Rishonim call, like an unformed potential existence on the first day, and then each of the other days Hashem shaped it into the appropriate thing. So the Gemara could have answered that, but instead the Gemara gives a better answer. This light that Hashem created on the first day of Ma'is Bereshis, Odom Sofa or Mabit by Misofa or the Mad Sofa. A person would be able to look with it and gaze with it and see from one end of the world to the other. To some extent, it can mean Begashmius. It can mean, in other words, that it was a much more powerful light than anything we're familiar with. But it could also mean Beruchnius, that he has the ability to perceive things on a Ruchniistical level, even at the ends of the world. But, maybe nowadays it's a little easier to understand on a Gashmiistical level as well, when after all we have forms of light. We have various electromagnetic radiations with which you can see things much further out than the horizon, much further than you would ever be able to see with your own eyes. So maybe it could mean, push it in a literal sense, that the original light the Eibishter created was of that kind. There wasn't a person yet to see it, but it would be. The Kivinchin is stacked like a Shboku, but Anshe, the Dura Mabel, the Dura Flug, Hashem looked ahead to what's going to be before the Mabel and the tower above it, the Rosh and Maaseh Mekokolim, and he saw that they're acting badly, and they would end up misusing that gift of being able to see Misofa Olamad Sofa. So Omad the Gonzo, Hashem went and hid it. It means, so to speak, okay, the tzaddikim lose out from it also, but on the other hand, the fact is, it's Yosef points out, look, eventually the tzaddikim are going to get it back, so therefore it's not so bad the fact that they lost it temporarily. He hid it from them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, v'yimona me'rishoyim oiram, the light was withheld from the rishoyim, Uzroya Romati Shogar, and the mighty, powerful arm was broken. In other words, by Hashem taking away that light and denying it to them means that now they don't have the power to oppose Hashem even more as it is. The Dura Mabel and the Dura Flogger did enough of that. If they had this light at their disposal, they would have been able to all the more so. So now it breaks their power. So who did Hashem hide it away for? The Tzaddikim La'asid Lavei. Hashem hid it away for the Tzaddikim in the future. The pasuk says Hashem saw the light that is good. The word toiv refers to the tzaddik. As the pasuk says, say about the tzaddik that he is good. So therefore, when it says vayara l'kimas ha'erki toiv, means that Hashem hid away the light for the one that is toiv. The light itself, when it saw that it's being hidden away for the sake of the tzaddikim, then it was happy. The light of the tzaddikim will be happy. So the light itself, so to speak, was happy that it's not going to be misused by the Rishoyim. Famously, the Baal Shem Tov said that this light is hidden in the Torah, and therefore, when a person learns Torah properly, the Shem Shemayim, then he has the ability to see Misofa Alamad Sofa, and you have all the famous Baal Shem Skimaisis, where he's able to see the guys, oxen in Leipzig, or the different stories like that, where he's able to see Misofa Alamad Sofa by looking into the Torah.
Is that better than your original Tedis?
Because the original teretz would be, okay, so there's an unformed light, and then later on the Eibishter created the heavenly bodies. He was saying it is the very same light. He was saying that it's not just an unformed light, it's not just a potential light, it's an actual light, but a much more intense, Begashmius, Beruchnius light than what came later on. So the Gemara says Katanoi, there's actually a Machlokas Tanoim on that. Rabbi Yaakov says what we just said, what we just learned, that it was the light Hashem created on the first day, and then He hid it away, and the light that we have, that comes from the sun and moon and so forth, is really just a pale reflection of that. The Chachamim say, sort of along those lines of the Chomer HaYuli, that it was that Hashem created the heavenly bodies on the first day. They were only placed in their places on the fourth day. Now, Maharsha points out, by the way, that Bechlau, why is the Gemara bothered by this only once we have the Braisa that mentions Ur as one of the 10 things that Hashem created on the first day? The Pasuk itself says, on the first day. Why isn't the Gemara bothered by the contradiction between that and the creation of the heavenly bodies on the fourth day? So Maharsha says, fine, obviously you could answer like the Chachamim, that it means Hashem created them on the first day and then placed them where they belong on the fourth day. But when the Brai said before, didn't just mention Ur, it also mentioned Midas Yom and Midas Laila, the concept that a day consists of 24 hours. So therefore, and that's also something the Brai listed on the first day. That implies that the sun and moon must have already been functioning on the first day, because otherwise, how could you talk about a 24-hour cycle when there's no sun and when there's no sun or moon to mark it? That's what bothered the Gemara, and the answer is that yes, according to Rabbi Lazar and according to Rabbi Yaakov, yes, Hashem created the sun and moon already on the first day, and created some kind of luminaries on the first day, from which came the Ur Misoifa or the Mad Soifa. Then He hid him away. Then on the fourth day, Hashem created other Ma'uris, the sun and moon that we're familiar with, and put them in the sky. That's what we would have to say. The original Ur that the Ibishta created was a different set of luminaries, a different set of light-giving things than was created later on the fourth. Well, that's essentially what the Chachamim were saying. It's the same light that Hashem created on the first day, and then it's placed on the fourth day. Okay, I mean, that's many times we have different opinions, and think about it. Yeah, later on, when we look at them, we can see how to harmonize them like that. Okay, the Gemara continues. Omer Rav Zutra Bar Tshuvia Omer Rav. Ba'asara Dvarim Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem created the world using 10 things. Maharsha says, when you get down to it, these 10 are basically the same as the 10 spheres, just some of them under the names that we're familiar with, and others under unfamiliar names. B'chachmo v'tvunu v'das, with wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, which of course are chesed, chachmo bina and das, v'koyah, with power, or v'gvura, and with strength, where one of those corresponds to gvura, the other one, yeah, or v'g'ora, and with yelling at, as the Gemara is going to say, there's certain things in Ma'aseh Bereishis that Hashem had to yell at them and rebuke them to stop. So that's another one of the 10 things. With tzedek over mishpat, with righteousness and justice, over chesed over nachmim, and with chesed and rach. So some of these things, obviously chesed, we can understand, corresponds to chesed among the spheres. Gvura is gvura, rachmim we know is another name for tiferes. Chochma tvuna and das, again, or chochma bina and das. Some of the other ones, it's a little harder to understand how exactly they map to the 10 spheres, but nevertheless, Maharsha says that's what it is. So let's go through. We can show from Sukkim that all 10 of these qualities were Hashem used in creating the world. B'chokhma v'tvona, Hashem used chokhma and bina. B'chtiv, Hashem b'chokhma yosad aretz. Hashem founded the world with chokhma. Konen shamayim v'tvona, and he established the heavens with tvona. Now, the difference between chokhma and tvona, so in Chassidus, we're familiar with the idea that chokhma is the spark of an idea, and bina is the derivation, what you broaden that and understand it more fully. Rashi over here explains in a slightly different vein, chokhma is you know what you learned, tvona is that you can understand new things, you can do pilpul and derive from those facts that you already know, derive new concepts. So we're saying that Hashem used both of those qualities in creating the world. Maharsha adds the points, in other words, that So later on, the Gemara is soon going to discuss the question, what was created first, earth or heaven? So here, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting, since it mentions Chochmah in connection with the earth, and Tevuna in connection with the heavens, and we know that Chochmah comes before Bina, then therefore that would imply that the earth was created first, like this Hillel said later on. Then the Das, Hashem also used Das, Tichtiv, the next pasuk there in Mishlei continues, the Daitai Tehoimus Nivko, with Hashem's Das, the depths were broken open, and the water came out of them to cover the appropriate parts of the earth. Marshall adds, this is, we learned yesterday about Boihu, we learned about Toyu and Boihu, and the Gemara had identified Boihu as wet stones from which water emerges. That's these Tehoimus Nivko that the pasuk is referring to. So there's your Chochmah, Bina, and Das. Next, the Koyach of Gvura, Hashem used power and strength. Dichtiv, Mechin Horim B'choyche, Hashem set up the mountains with his strength. Nezer, B'gvura, Hashem is booted with power. Nezer is like Ezer, like Ozer Yisrael B'gvura. In general, throughout Tanakh, you have the figure of speech. When a person, when you describe a person, or in this case, metaphorically, Hashem is strong, like a person girds their loins, a person puts on their belt and like hitches up their flowing robes to get to work. So therefore, gurda is always associated with putting on and then girding one's waist like that. So therefore, the same metaphor is being used in the pasuk. Marshall adds that we see the power in the Gvura of Hashem much more so in the creation of the mountains than anything else. We have in today's Rosh Chodesh. We're saying today and tomorrow, Baruch Hinafri, and we have the Pesukim over there, Al Horim Yamdu Moyim, that Hashem makes water rest on top of the mountains, and the water Ya'alu Horim Yerudu Kois, and Hashem makes the mountains Horim Agvoyim Laya'elim. So we see the power of Hashem in creating the mountains much more so than in other areas of Ma'aseh Bereishis. So therefore, that's why Koyach and Gvura are associated with those. Next, the Ge'ora, Hashem used the power of yelling and rebuking at things. Dichtiv, the pasuk is Amudei Shemayim Yireifahu, the pillars of the heavens are shaky, the Yismahu, and then they're startled, Migarosai, from Hashem's rebuke. So meaning, in other words, as the Gemara is going to go on to talk about, that the earth was expanding, and then Hashem rebuked it and told it, stop there, and it stops. Marsha brings over here that Rashi on the Pasuk explains a little differently. That Rashi mentions on the Pesukim in Bereishis, that when Hashem first created the heavens, and we know that there's Mayim or Yoinim over there, as the Gemara is going to discuss later on, and the heavens themselves are made from a mixture of fire and water, Shemayim, one meaning is Eshemayim, so they were still weak and shaky, you know, like water naturally would be, and then the Eibishter tells it, stand still, and like you yell at a person to stop, and he's so startled that he stands still, the same way, like so to speak, they were so startled that they stood still and have remained that way since. So that's the Ge'ora that Hashem used. That Matan Torah is something else. The whole world was trembling, or the Jewish people going to accept the Torah? And then when they accepted the Torah, then Eretz Yorav Shakotah. Here we're talking about when the Eivishter first created the sky, the heavens, that they were still shaky until Hashem was goyer at them, and then that's it. They stood that way, and they remained standing that way ever since. So that's the power of Ge'ora. Next, the Gemara is going to give more about the Ge'ora soon. The tzedek of mishpat, Hashem created the world with righteousness and with justice. Dichtiv, tzedek of mishpat machon kisecha. The pasuk says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And Marsha adds that the kisei hakavod itself was actually created even before sheishis to nevereishis. What we mean is that the kisei hakavod is created using the same things that the world was created with. But the actual kisei hakavod was created even before the world. The Gemara in Pesachim mentions it's one of the seven things that were created before the world. Next, the chesed of rachamim. Hashem created the world involving chesed and rachamim. Dichtiv, zchor rachamecha Hashem b'chasadecha. Hashem, remember your mercies and your kindnesses. Ki mei olam hema, because they are of the world. Now, if it meant just in the simple sense that your mercies and your kindnesses have always existed, then it would say le'olam. So Mei Olam Hema means they have always existed. From the very beginning of the world, they have existed. In Chassidus, we have it's brought in various places, that the idea is that unlike the Moshin, which are higher than the worlds, unlike Chochma, Bina, and Das, which are higher than the Olamas, the Midas involve the Olamas, we have in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, without somebody to do Chesed too, you can't do Chesed, and the same with all the other Midas, so therefore Mei Olam Hema, they have more directly to do with the Olam, with the world. Loved after, I guess, I don't know. Maybe Shemesh, I don't know. I mean, L'chura not, Marsho is equating them with the 10 spheres, and right after Chabad, yes, Chagas, so where here the Gemara is putting, here the Gemara is putting Chagas at the end, so yeah. I don't know, yeah. Okay. Omer of Yehuda Amar Rab. B'shar shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Asa Olam, when Hashem created the world, hoya marchi v'holich k'shei paka'oyas shal shes. It kept on expanding and growing larger, like two balls or two spools of shesi threads. You have the shesi threads are the threads that you set up on a loom to begin with, and then you use the Erev thread going back and forth. So you have when you're rolling up those balls and they become bigger and bigger, and the same way the world is getting bigger and bigger. Marshall says two balls in the sense, first of all, the Gemara is going to explain soon, for example, that the heavens were created from Eish and Mayim. So therefore, so you have two balls of material, so to speak, that Hashem is using. And then he says they represent the two Midas. The fire represents Midas Adin, and water represents Midas HaChesed, and so when Hashem mixed them together, it means, as we know, that Hashem used Chesed and Gvura together to create the world. As we know, the Alter Rebbe explains in detail in Shari for Be'amunah, that with Chesed alone, you wouldn't even have a Tzimtzum, and everything would be Bottle, and you need Gvura, which is the Midas Tzimtzum, that makes it possible that there should be Chlal exist in Gvura in Bali Gvura. So here, everything is expanding and expanding. Ad shegar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem rebuked it and yelled at it, v'hemidoy, and made it stop at a certain point. Shenema, the same pasuk that we just quoted, Amudah Shemayim Yudai Fafu, the pillars of the heavens are shaking, v'yismuhu migar rosei, and then they stand still in shock from Hashem's rebuke. So besides that, Rashi had mentioned on the pasuk that it means that they were watery and wavy until Hashem made them stand still and freeze in place. But we're saying in addition also Hashem made them stop at a certain point, stop growing any larger. In Chassidus, it talks about the idea that it means, in other words, that the Eibishter makes a tzimtzum gadol va'atzum, but the Eibishter decides there should be a certain point. The tzimtzum should be only this far and no more, so that we have a world which is where all the course is hidden, but where it's still possible to discover all the course. If it had gone any further, we'd have a world where it would be completely impossible to discover all the course at all. Why gar? So Ion Yaakov explains, because like this, without that, first of all, after all, the Eibishter's power is Ein Sof, so it would continue Ein Sof, but the Eibishter wants to demonstrate with the Gar, Hashem wants to show that no, Olam Hazeh has to have a limit. So in other words, not like that the Eibishter, so to speak, had to just create it to begin with a limit. The Eibishter created it as if it's going to go on forever, and then demonstrated with a Ga'ara, no, realize that Olam Hazeh has a limit, unlike Olam Hazeh. Okay, that's okay. Behind the Amr of Shimon Lakish, my dechtiv ani kel shakai. Later on, when Hashem speaks to Avraham Avinu about the mitzvah of Bris Milah, he starts by saying, "I am kel shakai." Why does Hashem use that name, shakai? Ani kel shalmati lo lomidai means I am the God who said to my world enough, meaning stop expanding at a certain point. As we learned yesterday, also Tosfos points out that the millery of the letter is Shin, Dalet, and Yud. The millery of the Yud Nun of Shin, and then so forth from the Dalet and the Yud equals 500. And there's the Mahalach Tovkuf Shana that we have, which is the size of the earth, as the Gemara talks about later, and the distance from one Rakia to the next, and so on and so forth. It all comes from that power of Shakai, that power of the Eved Shesein of the world Dai. That means enough, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Ikadamri, others say, Omer Shlokish, Bashak, Bashavak, Bashavak, say Yamagodo, when Hashem created the great sea, the ocean, Hoya Marchid Baholach, it was getting wider and wider. Adjagar by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until Hashem again rebuked it, the Yibshoi, and made it dry up, that it's not gonna go any further. Shenema, Goyer, Bayam, Bayam, Shehu, as we find later on, the Navi describes that Hashem rebukes the sea and dries it up. So Maharsha says it can't be talking about Kriyas Yamsu, because then it wouldn't be Goyer in present tense. It would be Vayigar in the past. One time, Hashem rebuked it and made it dry up. Goyer is an ongoing thing, so therefore it has to refer to the Bria Sa'olam. The effect of that Ga'ora of the Eveshkes to begin with continues to affect how the size and the capacity of the ocean even now, especially of the Tzidus that the Eveshkes is recreating at every moment. Right, but that's what it means. In other words, like, so to speak, once the Eveshkes starts the process, it's Ein Sof. Anything that would be created from Ein Sof is itself going to be Ein Sof. The Alter Rebbe talks about in detail in Geras Chof and Tanya, unless the Eveshkes puts a stop to it with a tzimtzum. So that maybe the reason why you're asking why it has to use the word goyer over here. And after all, tzimtzum itself is an aspect of Gvura. It's a Gvura dicka thing. Like the Eveshkes has to put a stop over here, so therefore the answer. So it can be described as in terms of Gaara. So one thing is, you know, also we often talk about in Chassidus that the Yam in general refers to Alma Deis Kasia. So maybe also the Gemara is talking about that you have there's a limit not only to Alma Deis Galia, which is like you said the Shtei Hakoyas Shol Shesi. There's also a limit to Alma Deis Kasia. The Olam Asel Yonim also have a certain limit to them. They were also created through Tzimtzumim after all. Turn it up. Beshama says first the heavens were created, then the earth. Shenema Bereshis Barada came Esa Shemayim, the Esa Aret, in that order, Shemayim then Aret. Or Beshilo Oimim, Eret Nivrit Tchila, Beshilo says the earth was created first, Shenema, Vahakach Shemayim, Shenema, Beyoima Sois Hashem Lekim Eret Shemayim. Another passage later on describes on the day that Hashem created earth and heaven. So earth comes first. Now, Maharsha discusses in some detail over here, the fact is that it was all B'maimer Echad, it was all Bereshis Bara Lekim, Asa Shemayim Vesa Aretz, and the Gemara mentions in Megillah that Bereshis Nami Maimahu, that the words, that Pasuk Bereshis itself is the first one of the Asara Ma'amaris. So the Shemayim Va'aretz were both created with one Maimer, so what are you talking about, one before the other? And the fact is, as the Gemara is going to point out, that you have the Pesukim have to be reconciled among according to both of them, and he goes on to explain in some detail that basically the machloekus is not so much which one was created first, but when we talk about that the metzias of the world was getting larger and larger, like we said before, and then the Eveshter was goyer in it, and it stopped. So what was the ikker first that then everything developed on top of it? So Maharsha draws an analogy like you have, for example, so what is it? Do you start from the beginning and then you have more and more layers added to the outside, or are you starting from the outside and working your way in towards the center? You actually have a similar machlokas that we learned in Yuma a while back, whether you have machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, whether the world is created from the middle and then extending outward, or first the Eveshter created the edges and then worked his way, so to speak, in. So therefore, so he explains the Shammai and the Sivol's machloikas along those lines as well. That the Shammai is saying the Shemayim is the Iker, and from that it starts spreading out more and more until you get all the way down to the Oretz. So Basil says the other way around, the Oretz being the center and everything surrounds it. So it starts with the Eretz, and then you have more and more layers accreting on top of that. So secondary tip. There's a sicha in Chelik Vav where the Rebbe analyzes in detail. We have many places where we have machlokas b'shama b'shilol, where the Rebbe explains we can view it in terms of b'koyach and b'poyach, where in general b'shamai tends to look at the potential of something and b'shilol tends to look at it as it actually is. Famously, for example, we have as far as Neres Hanukkah, where b'shamai says you start from 8 and work your way down to 1, because at the beginning of Hanukkah you have b'koyach 8 days, and the next day you have b'koyach 7 and so forth, where this all looks at the poil, how much of Hanukkah has already passed. So the Rebbe explains this machlokas in that vein as well, that it's the Shemayim, or the Koyach, the Oretz is the poil, and so the question is which came first. Then the Rebbe goes on to develop the idea. It's not just a matter of which one is the Koyach and which one is the poil. Beis Shammai takes the view, the whole purpose of the Eretz is to be brought up to the level of Shemayim. because the Shammai comes from Gvura. And that's what Gvura is. Gvura is Allah, Ma'am Shafa, is bringing upward, like fire, which Gvura is compared to. So therefore, they say the purpose, the whole purpose of the Eretz, it's, so to speak, secondary to Shamayim. Not, obviously, they know that, you know, Nesav HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally did it with Tachtonim, and that's the purpose. But they're saying the ultimate purpose of the earth is to become a Shamayim. And therefore, they say Shamayim has to come first. Whereas the Silla looks at it, that their thing is Amshacha, to bring downward, as in Chesed, as in Mayim Shiyodim, Mokum Gavoyah, Mokum Namoch. And therefore, they say that the purpose of the Shamayim is to provide what is going to be the model for Earth, but ultimately the Earth, the Eretz, is where it's all at. So the Gemara continues, according to your logic that you're saying Hashem created the heavens first, when a person is building a two-story house, does he first build the second floor and then the ground floor? So the Shemayim is like the second floor. And the Pasuk describes Hashem builds his upper floors in heaven, and his bond where people, the bond, Marsha explained, meaning the Yesodis, the four Yesodis that are bound together to make all the various material existences that we're familiar with, Al Eretz Yesod, Hashem founded on the earth. So therefore, the heavens are like a second floor. So you don't build the second floor first. Omerland Beshamay Levisil, also Beshamay answers back, the Divrechem, and according to your logic, Onam Boino Oisa Shrafra. Does the person first make the footstool and then make the actual throne? And Hashem says the heavens are my throne and the earth is my footstool. So the throne comes first. So therefore the Shemayim, which are Hashem's throne, has to be first. And the idea is, Rashi also explains, the idea is because first you build the throne, then you look at how high off the floor is the seat of the throne, and then you build the shrafraf appropriately, you build the footstool appropriately, so that it'll fit the feet. So the same way, they just had to create the Shemayim, and then based on how it comes out, so to speak, then he's going to create the Oretz appropriately. Nachum said neither of the above. Zev zek echad nivro. Both of them were created at the same time. There's no one before the other, and there's no one more important than the other. Shenema af yodi yosta oretz. Hashem says, even you should know that my hand founded the earth. The mini tipcha shemayim, and my right hand, so yodi would be my left hand, founded the earth. The mini tipcha shemayim, and my right hand set up and then made tipcha means like it shape formed the heavens. Koda ani alehem, I call to them, yamdu yachdav, they stand together. So since it says yamdu yachdav implies that they were both created together, not one any time before the other, and not that one is any more important than the other. Yamdu yachdav is part of the pasuk. The idach, so what is the Shammai the still answer to that? They say, my yachdav on the shtalfi ma'adari. The word yachdav just means that the heavens and earth always remain in their same positions relative to one another. They never slide apart from each other, but not that it means that they were created and not that it means that they were created at the same time, but rather that one was created first and then the other. And it depends, the Shammai and Basilo are arguing which one is which. And Marshall goes on with more of an arichos about explaining more about the deeper ideas behind what the Shammai and the Sibyl are saying. Both of them definitely agree that the fact is most psukim do mention Shemayim and Oretz, do mention Shemayim before Oretz, but Marshall says fine, there's good reason for that. First of all, because how do you know the existence of Eibishter? It's easier to see it from the Shemayim than it is from the Oretz. You see the perfect, exact motion of the heavenly bodies and everything, then you realize that the Rambam says at the beginning of the Torah, a thing can't move without some motive force, and you see that they're moving constantly and continuously moving for thousands of years, then you realize that there's a mover, there's an Eibishter who's moving them. That's after all how Abraham discovered the Eibishter. And then also you see more from looking not just from their emotions, but b'chlal, from considering from looking at them b'chlal, you see more the greatness of the Eibishter. So therefore, fine. So Shemayim is generally mentioned first. So that doesn't mean that Shemayim was actually created. Then Maharsho also goes on to point, well, actually, LeFleur in the next, so the Gemara continues, Makomachim Koshu Kroyadari. Okay, well, we have this Shammai bringing a proof from Bereshis Bara Lakim as a Shemayim Vasaret, this Hillel bringing from the Yer Masai Sashem Lakim Eretz Shemayim. So which is it, Tanta? Why does one pasuk mention Shemayim first and the other one mention Eretz first? When Hashem created them, then according to this Shammai, Bara Shemayim Vachakach Oretz. Then first he created the heavens and then the earth. But then when he spread them out, like he spread out a tent, then not to Eretz Rachakach Shemayim, first he spread out the earth and then the heavens. Maharsha says in particular, that means, you think about it, so, Bereshis Bara Elokim Asher Shemayim Vasaretz. When was all the work of creating, when was all of Hashem's work of creating the earth finished? On the third day. On the second day, though, you have the image to create the water, the mayim that separates the mayim al-yonim and mayim batarim. The third day is yikovu ha-mayim and dry land that appears. After that, that's it. The job of creating the physical earth is done. Meanwhile, when is the job of creating the Shemayim finished? Only on the fourth day, when they used to put the sun and moon in place. So therefore, in that sense, we can say that Hashem, so to speak, spread out, like setting up a tent. First, he finished with the job of putting together the earth, and then he finished the next day the job of putting together the heavens. So therefore, so that explains the words Eretz Shemayim in that way. Okay. The Gemara continues. My Shemayim, why do we call the heavens Shemayim? Because there is water. There on top of it, there's water. We have Mayim Hashem al Rafia. The Masnisa Tana, in a Braisa we learn another meaning, Eishu Mayim. It also means that Shemayim is short for fire and water. Malamed Shev, Yen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Torf and Zebazeh, Hashem took fire and water and mixed them together. Maharsha again said before, when he talked about the Shtei Pakiyas, that Hashem blended together Chesed and Gvura, Ba'os Mehen Rakiya, and created the Rakiya out of that mixture. Rashi on the pasuk brings a third meaning also, that Shemayim also stands for Sa Mayim, because it bears Sa Melosh Nasa, the water is again that it bears and then carries the Mayim Oyun. But here the Gemara brings only the other two. Okay. The Gemara continues. Shor Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva Kshoy Mahalchim Badech. One time Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva are walking together on the road, and Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Akiva, he says, learned and personally served Nochum Ish Gamzu for 22 years. We learned about Nochum Ish Gamzu in times. So Dorish called Essin Shabbat Torah. And Nochum Ish Gamzu famously used to douse in every S in the Torah that it comes to add something. Actually, elsewhere, the Gemara mentions that, not in the name of Nochum Ish Gamzu. In other places, the Gemara mentions it in the name of Shimon Ham Suni or Nehemiah Ham Suni. The Gemara mentions in a few other places that it mentioned that he came to Esther Shalom and Kefatira, and he was bothered how could he compare anything to the Moda of the Eivishter. So he withdrew all of his Doroshes. And so Rabbi Akiva said, Esther Shalom and Kefatira, Lurabis Timon Chachamim. So here, Rabbi Shmuel is telling him that you learned that kind of that style of learning from Nochum Ish Gamzu. So I have to ask you, Es Shemayim Vesaretz, my Dorash Behen. So what did Nochum Ish Gamzu doubt about the S in Shemayim Vesaretz? Now you have elsewhere the Marshal says, okay, you know, we have, there was a medrash that says, that it means Es Shemayim Vodavis Tzvon, that's Earth Vodavis Tzvael, that includes all the hosts of heaven and earth. Still, Marshal says it could have said Es Shemayim Vodavis. Well, that's actually later in the Gemara, but whatever. Why does it say, why Bechlal does it say Es Shemayim Vodavis? Why not just Bereshis Bara Elokim Shemayim Vodavis? Omer lo, so Rabbi Akiva answers him, Ilu nema Shemayim Va'aretz, if it said it without the S's, how you see Shemayim Va'aretz, Shmos and Shalak Kodesh Baruch Hu, then you would mistakenly think that Shemayim and Aretz are names of Hashem. You would understand, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Shemayim Va'aretz. You would think, Chas V'Shalom, that it means Elokim, and Shemayim and Aretz all did, etc. So therefore, Achshav Shenema, Es Shemayim Ves Aretz, Shemayim Shemayim Mamash, Eretz Eretz Mamash. So then we understand that it means that those are the objects of the sentence, that Bereshis Bara Elokim, the Eivishter created, the Shemayim and the Aretz, those are the objects rather than the subjects of the sentence. Bar Shah brings from the Medrash that says a little differently. You would have thought Shemayim Ba'aretz are gods. So in other words, you would think there's Beis Rishuyos, that maybe Bereishis Bara Elokim, that Elokim is like the first mover, and then you have Shemayim and Aretz, so also like lesser deities, Rahman al-Flan, and then whatever. So now it makes it clear that Elokim is the one who makes everything happen, not just the mover who started everything moving, but the one who actually made everything happen. Okay, the Gemara asks the Esa Aretz Lomali. Fine, but why does it have to say the Esa Aretz? Bereishis Bara Elokim, Esa Shemayim Va'aretz. Once we have the first S, that makes us understand already that Shemayim Va'aretz are not names of Hashem or gods or anything like that. So the answer is Lahaktim Shemayim Va'aretz, to tell us that heaven goes before earth. Now, Rashi explains, in other words, without the second S, you would say, like the Chachamim said before, that they were both created at the same time. It says one before the other. Well, look, you can't say two words together necessarily. One has to be before the other, but it could still mean the first. It could still mean first one, then the other. By saying the word S in between makes it clear first one was created, then the other one was created. Tosfos mentions that Rashi on the Pasuk mentions the Esa Shemayim Vodabas Tzva'eh, Mes Aret Vodabas Tzva'eh. That disagrees with our Gemara over here, because according to that, you have a very good reason for the S separately by each one of them. The Gemara continues when it says, now in Pasuk Aleph, it mentions Shemayim first. So why does it right away switch to things that Hashem did on the earth? First, it should describe what the Ebesha did with Shemayim, and then it should continue with what Hashem did on Eretz. The answer is Tonet Veda Bishmol, Moshal Melech Bos of Adam, like a human king, he tells his servants, I want you to all be up early tomorrow to be at my door. The next morning he comes there and he finds there are women and there are men waiting over there all ready for his orders. Lamima Shabeach, which one does he praise more? Lamisha ain't doubt the Hishkim, the ones who don't usually wake up early, and they made the effort and they came early. So the same way, in other words, the Shemayim being the Olamas Ruchniyim, of course they're more in tune with what Hashem wants, and therefore so like they don't deserve as much credit. But the Oretz, which is naturally it's Tacht and Shein Tacht and Lamata Hemenu, and yet the Medrash even says it's called Eretz Sheroth Salasis Ritzon Kona, that it ran to do what the Eveshter wants, so like it deserves more credit, and therefore the Eveshter highlights it first and explains it, and that Hashem highlights it first and talks about what it did. In fact, Maharsha says it can also mean, according to Beis Hillel, that it means the earth, so to speak, woke up first and actually got created first. In other words, that it was so to speak more ready to be created, more even than the Shemayim, which were then only created afterwards. So therefore, the Eveshter gives the Oretz credit and starts highlighting it first. There was an idea, and it also you start out with that. After that, you have the focus. When you get down to it, the focus in the Torah gets more and more narrow. First, you have the Shemayim v'Oretz, then only Oretz, then only humanity. Then only Noach's family, then only Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, then only the Shvatim, etc. Because, in other words, the Eveshter is focusing on what's the most important relative to the Eveshter, as we're saying over here in the Gemara. The Oretz is more important because that's where you have, that's where he wants it, Didav HaTachtonim, and that's where we have the ability to do Avodas HaBerurim and all of that. And therefore, there may be a whole Shemayim out there, and it's much bigger, and in some ways more important than Earth, but the Eveshter is setting all that aside, like you have the Loshen. Like you have the Loshon in Tanya, that Yinyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elyonim B'Tachtonim, and he's focusing only on us Jewish. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, first day of Rosh Chodesh El Olam and Menachem Av. Every single year, the men and women, even children, has the achrayus to increase in his avodah to bring Mashiach to Kenan B'Poyol Mamash. How does a person express that avodah? It's also very simple. A person adds in Torah and mitzvahs. A person adds in learning both Nigla and Pnimiyas HaTorah. And by fulfilling mitzvahs behider, and that's a person in that way increases with his avodah in such a way that will bring Mashiach B'Poyol Mamash. Thank you. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos, with halachas of clothing on Shabbos, you have a person who needs a walking stick. So you have a person who's lame, a person who just recovered from an illness, an old person. If they can't walk without a walking stick at all, then they're allowed to walk with one on Shabbos. In the same way you have people walk around with walkers on Shabbos, same idea. If they're able to walk without the walking stick, though, and in their house they walk without one, and they just use it when they're outside, then it would be also. Similarly, also, a blind person also wouldn't be able to take along his walking stick in the same, unless the city has an Eruv, for the same reason, in other words, because he can get around his house without it, basically, so it's not so essential for him. I'm not sure if that necessarily applies nowadays, where a blind person actually uses his walking stick to signal. They have special colored walking sticks for blind people to signal to people that they're blind, and especially to cars that they should know to stop for him. So I don't know if that same din applies now that they're not allowed to wear them on Shabbos. Anyway, then you have sometimes people use a walking stick because they're a fancy type of person who uses a walking, like if I have, for example, the story with the silver-headed walking stick that the Rebbe Rashab got for the Frida Kedemah. So that kind of thing, even when there's an Eruv, you can't use on Shabbos because he said it would be zilusa de Shabbos, it would be disgrace to Shabbos to be carrying around something like that you don't need. The Alter Rebbe, though, says no, it's not zilusa de Shabbos. Not necessarily should you be taking it on Shabbos, but it wouldn't be a zilusa, it wouldn't be a degradation of Shabbos to do it, the Alter Rebbe says. Another din, a person is wearing chains, then a person is wearing like leg irons or whatever, he would be allowed to go out with them on Shabbos. So I guess to that extent nowadays it might apply to handcuffs. Whether it would apply to like ankle monitors, I don't know, because those are a whole nother matter. Those are electronic devices. That's a whole nother matter. As you walk around, they give off a signal. So I don't know if there would be, I don't know what the dinim would be about that on Shabbos. And then another din is you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos with stilts. What? Why would you go on stilts? Let's say think about it. For example, let's say the Lag BaOmer parade, you have a bachur who go around and then in clown makeup on stilts, right? So okay, there's no Lag BaOmer parade on Shabbos, but let's say for whatever reason. I mean, it's not a joke. Actually, in the Gemara, when it mentions these things, that is actually the Gemara uses the word ankatmin, and Rashi gives like three different explanations of what ankatmin are, and other Rishonim give other ones. One of the explanations Rashi says it means stilts, which you would use, for example, on muddy ground to keep your feet and shoes from getting wet. So yeah, nowadays I don't know how many people use them for that, but whatever the case, you're not allowed to use them on shots. Yeah.